Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's a great Friday. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great weekend. And we got some great guests here for a great city. But first, let me introduce our crew. And I'm the producer, Kelly Frost, Jr.
Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, you got any good news this morning?
Not really.
Okay.
It's Friday.
Well, somebody delivered donuts.
He's breathing.
Yeah, he's
good news.
Standing upright. Yeah, they delivered donuts today. Something we all need. Yeah. And, of course, my soulmate here.
Well, good morning. I woke up and found some fabulous news that I think that I'd like to share with our listeners right off. Farmers.com editors have listed Lassen Volcano on the site, National Park, as one of their dozen domestic and international favorites for readers considering travel plans this year. So here's your top 12 travel destinations from Farmers. Cartagena, Colombia.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of things going out of Colombia.
I've been to Cartagena. Cape Town, South Africa. Saqqara, Egypt. I think that's how you say it. Washington, D.C. Waterton Lakes National Park, Alberta, Canada. Civil Rights Trail from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. Berlin. Belfast, Northern Ireland. Istanbul, Turkey. Cambodia, but not Angkor Wat, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but number 12 is Waiheke Island in New Zealand. Well, so I feel really impressed that we're
Lassen's
living
in the middle of that.
Yeah, right there.
And I tell you, a few of these, like Belfast and places in Indonesia, you know, nobody's going to go out there like 15 years ago. So it shows you how things can change. Let's go to the phones real quick. Okay, Rose, good morning.
Morning, Glory. What a treat. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rose.
Good morning, Rose.
Morning. Got to have a chuckle, right?
Yes.
You know, I eloped with a trucker, and when we moved into this neighborhood, a little 7-year-old girl was welcoming us. And I said, we're newlyweds. And she shook her little blonde head and wrinkled up her nose. And I said, oh, we're too old to be newlyweds. And she said, you're oldieweds.
That's cute.
It's been fun. God run.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Okay, you know, today our guest and our Jim Hamilton, who is the Development Services Director for the City of Reading, and Bertie Farger. Am I pronouncing that right?
Fargin,
I'm sorry. Who is the Customer Service Manager for all the utilities here in Reading. And we have got a number of questions for them, as I'm sure our listeners do. But first, we've got to take a quick break. So this is Carl and the Bot here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Join us on the other side. This is Carl and the Bot, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. This week, or beginning of last Sunday, has been pretty hot. Reading Searchlight did an article about people being evicted from their homes for non-payment of utilities. And that's not just apartments, but also single-family dwellings. The amount of interest in this and a group of people in our community has just skyrocketed. And the questions are, how does this happen and why is this happening? Well, today our guest with Jim Hamilton, who is the Development Services Director, and Bernie Fargin, who is the Customer Service Manager for all the utilities, are going to start answering some of these questions. And since this is our show, meaning North State, we expect you all to be calling in with your questions. So,
and civility.
That's our only rule. You be civil on the radio or we cut you off.
Numero uno.
That's right. And you know, we've never had that problem, though,
no.
Linda. We have never had that problem
in
all the different people. Yeah, people can ask questions and disagree without vilifying. Jim, tell us exactly what you do.
Well, thank you, Carl and Linda. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program today and to be able to talk to folks, give them the information that they need so that they really understand the situation. As a development services director, I'm in charge of the planning and building and land development engineering functions for the city. So code enforcement, which gets involved when we have situations where people are living in unsafe conditions, is also within my shop.
Okay, so if when you say code enforcement, so if somebody comes to you, if the Reading Utilities comes to you and says somebody has not paid their bills for 20 days, or does it have to be longer than that?
Well, we don't get involved in the area of when people pay their bills, how they pay their bills, or any of those types of things. What we do receive is each week a list from Reading Utility, all the utilities, of their disconnection from services for property. And it's at that point in time that we get involved. What we do is monitor the situation and look to see if a property has not had utilities beyond a certain period of time, typically 5 days or so. Then we'll go out and make a determination whether or not that building is still occupied. It's at that point that we make a decision about becoming involved. So our folks look at the situation, make a decision to become involved if they believe that there's a situation that's dangerous or unsafe.
So when you say they make a decision right then, so this is kind of an arbitrary decision?
No, certainly not. The law doesn't allow us to make arbitrary decisions. There's due process and all these things where we're involved. Code enforcement officers are trained professionals, just as engineers and others, in what the law allows to occur. In this particular case, they're often building inspectors who understand safe building conditions and those types of things. So they go out and look at a situation, and before a property is posted as being unsafe to occupy, they understand what's going on there and whether or not that there may be a situation that's unsafe.
Okay, Jim. So you're going out there and you're using codes that are state codes and city codes?
That's correct.
All right. So, but when you said they went out and made a decision, so if they went out to a single family dwelling and the power's been cut off, do they then look inside the house to see if it's unsafe, or how would they say it's an unsafe building?
How is it determined?
How is it determined? Sure. They look at the conditions of the property. So they'll look around, is there potentially raw sewage on the ground because they don't, or is there a situation where there are wires that are exposed? Do they look through a window? Is there somebody living inside and they've got a charcoal brazier in there that they're using for their heat or their barbecuing? Those types of things is what they do. I think it's important to kind of put this in perspective. I think that, unfortunately, the Record Searchlight had some of the information incorrect, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of...
Let's clarify.
Well, you know, Jim, this is the thing, is that we try to bring up all sides of an issue. We try not to, we try to give everybody their shot at it, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to ask hard questions and our listeners aren't going to be asking some hard questions. I mean, to me, you could talk numbers, but I to me, they're not numbers, they're people.
Sure.
And I would hope that that's the way it is with our people in city council. They're not numbers, they're people.
Well, that's the way it should be, and that's the way it is, actually. And so I think it's important to understand that. And I think that's why people get upset when they get information that's incorrect. So if you see information that says 935 homes were posted to be vacated because they didn't have their utilities, people get rightly upset about that.
So let's do a clarification
sure.
there.
So in 2008, there were a little over 1,000 disconnections in the city of Reading that we received notices about. Of those, only 8 homes were posted to be vacated for unsafe occupancy.
Those were single-family dwellings?
Actually, there was only one home. The rest were apartments.
Okay. And so, but there's still, that's 8.
That's 8.
8 out of the 1,000.
900?
Out of over 1,000, yeah.
Do you know the circumstances behind those?
Yeah, I do. So in the case of the one home, actually the individual that had been living there had been removed by her family because she was unable to care for herself any longer. It was reoccupied by some other family members, and there started to be a fair amount of activity going there, criminal-type activity. The home was being shot up and stuff. So the code enforcement folks working with the police department were able to resolve that neighborhood problem. And one of the things that occurred there is the property was posted because due process requires that we do that, posted that unsafe to occupy because it lacked power and, of course, was in very poor condition.
Okay, well, the bottom line is we have to take a quick break here, is that if somebody is in a single-family dwelling, and again, we go into this if thing, somebody is in a single-family dwelling, they've paid for their house, they're paying their taxes, but they haven't paid their utilities, they can still be posted. But, I mean, according to the law, if they don't have power and they're within, 300 feet?
If you're within 300 feet of power, you need to be connected.
You have to be connected. So say they're not, and they're in a single-family dwelling house. It's in good condition. Still, by the law there, you're saying is that you need to push them out of that house. Is that Reading City law, or is that...
Well, that's actually state law. What we're saying is we need to get the situation resolved. And this is the due process that's put in place to allow that situation to get resolved. I think we live in a city where we may have one circumstance. If we're living on 5 acres and we're by ourselves. If you're living in an apartment complex surrounded by other people, the situation changes.
Changes, right. Okay, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 with Free Fire Radio. Our guests are Jim Hamilton and Bernie Fargent, who we're going to get to Bernie right after the break here. Join us on the other side.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You've been listening to Carl and Linda Bott. The phone lines are 221-1402. Hey, listen, if you have got a question, now is the time. We have Bernie Fargent and Jim Hamilton in the studio, and they're ready to take your calls. We're talking about, oh, man, the electrical shutouts.
Okay. Hey, you know, Bernie, you're up. And one of the things that I've seen is, you know, a lot of people are complaining about is, how come it costs so much to turn your power back on, you know, twice the average bill? You know, you've got plus all your fees and I guess it's also past due, anything you have past due, right? All that is added into that turn-on fee?
Yes, and I'd like to begin by thanking for the invitation to join you guys this morning and echoing what Jim said earlier. The city's policy related to restoring utilities, that's once utilities have been terminated due to non-payment, requires that all the utilities that have been used up until that point are paid, and any bad debt that customer may have, any of the costs to reset, so there's a reconnect fee. And
I think that reconnect fee is, what, $59 during the day?
It's $50 during the day and $89 for after hours reconnect.
Right.
And then there's the deposit requirement. The deposit requirement is 2 times the average monthly usage considering the prior 12 months.
So you could have so if they're going to pay the fees, the penalties, and the delinquent account, and then on top of that add another 2 months – to average months as a connection fee?
Yep. In the thought behind the deposit amount, the 2 months, is the city of Reading provides for 5 utilities, electric, water, sewer, garbage, storm drain, and those services are billed after use. Typically, we bill on a 30-day cycle, so customers are billed for 30 days of usage. The due date of the bill is 20 days. There's 2 automatic extensions that will get the due date out to 35 days. And so at that point, a customer has used about 10 weeks of electricity, water, sewer, garbage, storm drain. So about 2.5 months of utilities are used at the point that utilities would be disconnected if they weren't paid. The 2 month deposit is to offset part of
that. But to turn that back on, they've already got to pay those delinquent fees. I mean, it says here that they have to pay their delinquent fees. So whatever they owe, they have to pay plus a deposit of 2 months.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm maybe not doing a great job of answering it, but whether it's a new customer, an existing customer, or a customer that has been disconnected for non-payment,
right,
the city has deposit requirements.
I understand that.
If you come in and set new service with the city has deposit requirements.
No, I understand that. But if I'm a new person, I come in, mm-hmm, how much of a deposit do I have to make?
The deposit requirement is exactly the same. It's 2 months deposit because the utility can provide up to 2.5 months of service before those services would be disconnected.
No, I understand that, but I'm new. I'm just new to Reading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you already know from that place I'm living what the average 2 months is, and that's what I'm going to pay. So if it's $200 a month at that house, I have to pay $400 as a deposit.
Yes, with one caveat. Unless you can provide information to the city that you are have already established a good payment history for utilities from a prior...
Elsewhere, in another city, perhaps?
Yeah, you can provide to the city a document from that prior utility that you have established a good payment record okay. with them. We also will run credit reports for new customers for a $5 fee.
So I see what you're saying here. Okay, yeah. Let's go to the phones real quick. Hey, Russell, we got like 40 seconds, and you can wait to the other side. So what do you got?
Okay, well... This whole controversy about electricity being turned off in somebody's home and them being told to get out, if that is a state law, that is a contribution on behalf of the government to the homeless problem that they're always saying, we need to solve the homeless problem. Why do we have such a homeless problem in this country? And they want to put people out of their homes.
Well, you know what? That's part of it. And here's, you know, and as we go into our second half of our show, and we've got to take a hard break here, Russell, is what can we do to stop the abation, to abate the abation? You know what I mean? So, hey, Russell, thanks a lot. You can want to hang on to the other side or just call us again.
Yeah, I'll hold on to the other side, Carl.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Look, this is Carl in the Bot here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We've got the utilities here. We're going to be talking in the second half. What can we do in this great city to stop this?
Welcome back to listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We have special guests in the house, and we're taking your call. But first, we want to say that this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs. If you've got a watch that needs to be repaired, go on in there because they have the only expert watch repair person dealing in high-end watches, and Leonard Silverman, the owner, will find you any jewel you want around the world, because trust me, he can make a deal.
Okay, hey, Russell, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, finish up, Russell. We got the lines backing up here.
Okay. Well, I think one of the worst things that ever happened in the state of California was when Gray Davis deregulated utility companies, because it allowed them to go hog wild and basically do whatever they want, and California now has some of the highest power bills in the nation. That is absolutely ridiculous. There is no call for it. When I moved out here, Carl, I was living back in the Detroit, Michigan area. And I could run my air conditioner in my apartment there almost 24 hours a day. And my highest electric bill that I would get would be $50 for a month. Me and my wife, when I moved out here and we got married, we went on our honeymoon and we were gone for almost a month. We had everything in the house turned off except for our clocks, and we came home to a $100 power bill, okay? The first thing that needs to happen is the power companies need to be re-regulated, and then there needs to be a cap put on charges that they can give to people, because electricity is not a privilege. This is a necessity in today's day and age, and when you're talking about a government that's putting laws into place that says if you don't have your electricity on, we can kick you out, that's huge.
Well, it is huge.
And people out of their homes. This is ridiculous.
Well,
the government wants to solve the homeless problem. Putting people out of their homes isn't it.
Okay. Hey, Russell, take a breath here. We understand what you're saying here. And that's why we got, you know, Jim and
passionate
Bernie here.
Passionate callers.
And the fact is that your passion is felt here, too. And that's what we need to do is find out in this great city is how we can keep getting the, you know, money flowing, but keep people in their homes, too. So thanks a lot for your phone call, Russell.
Yep.
Martin, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted the gentleman there to answer this one question. What exactly does the city do to work with the folks that are being threatened with eviction for lack of ability to pay their bill? Thank you.
Okay. Bernie.
There's a whole process that the city goes through and tools the city provides. Obviously, the city encourages customers to pay for the utilities they've used. They offer a variety of tools to enable them to do that. I'm not sure if your question is what happens after they've been disconnected.
I think what they're talking about is this. If I can speak for Martin and the way I feel is. We shouldn't get to that point, all right? the people, you know, I also understand if you wait till 45 days and your power's cut off, things get a little bit harder, a lot harder after that. What is the city, what can the city do to help people that know they're going to have problems? I'm not talking about Mike the meth guy. He can go out and lay in the street. I could care less. I'm talking about the homeowner or the homemaker that's got three kids. She's working two jobs. It's tough. Maybe she makes a little bit too much money to fall under some of these, you know, little umbrellas. So what are we doing? We're making $2.1 million a month in late fees, you know, and that goes in the general fund. Oh, am I wrong about that? I'm sorry,
A year.
Oh, okay, $2.1 million. A year then. I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah, that would be a lot. But $2.1 million late fees, and that doesn't include deposits, by the way. And that goes to a general fund. So, Bernie, how can we help people here?
Okay. Well, the tools that the city provides for customers to be able to stay current, to pay for the utilities they're using, are we offer levelized billing, or some people refer to it as budget billing. Everyone knows that utility bills rise in the summer because of the heat and air conditioning load. And typically, utilities are less in the winter. We offer a program where we can levelize that out so that it's more manageable. We offer a program called Preferred Due Date, which if you get paid at a certain time of the month that falls outside of when your utility bill is due, we can extend your due date and give you a preferred due date.
No, wait a minute. That's just up to the 30th.
Excuse me?
Up to the end of the month, right?
Yeah, we cycle bills. We bill every month.
Well, now, I tried that because they were billing me on the 26th, and I said, "Hey, can I get billed on the 1st?" And I was told, "No, I can get. They can take it out to the 30th," which they did, and they're very polite about it.
Yeah,
but it's not like, "Hey, can I do it on the 5th?"
Right. We cycle bill every 30 days. Essentially, we send out a utility bill. We will extend the preferred due date out to the 30 days. But at 30 days, another bill is issued.
Okay.
And so we don't extend into the next utility bill. So the bills are due. The due date is 20 days from billing date. And we will extend out to the next time you're going to get a bill, which is 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, and I think one of the things that a lot of times gets missed in this discussion is, you know, what is the city doing to try to make the utilities more affordable or give people the greatest opportunity to be able to pay for the utilities they use? And one of the things that commonly is overlooked here is what people are paying for the utilities. Your caller before mentioned the increased costs for utilities over a period of time and referred to deregulation of the electric utility industry and those kinds of things. But the city of Redding, in providing the five utilities, which is relatively unique in California, it's a full service city. There's where it's providing all five utilities: water, electric, garbage, sewer, and storm drain.
I understand.
The cost for utility customers in Redding last year, just for electric, I'll just pick that one as the example, paid between $30 and $40 million less last year than they would have had they lived outside the city limits.
Yeah,
that's a huge benefit to the folks, the low-income, middle-income folks in the community, to be able to pay for the utilities.
Well, you know, and I understand this. We've had Mr. Hoosier on before, and we're talking mm-hmm. about that, you know, and I'm not going to get into that part, all right? But, you know, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I've got lots of questions, but so do our listeners. So, Carol, good morning.
Good morning. Several years ago, I bought a commercial building in Chester County. And I won't tell you what town, but anyway, shortly after that, they put in city sewer.
Yes.
And so I had a connection fee to the new city sewer. And anyway, years later, I sold it, and then years later, rebought the building, which had been sitting empty for a while. And they charged me a brand new connection fee as if it was the original. I went to the water board meeting, and they admitted that, yes, that's the way they do things. So what I want to know is, your reconnection fee, is that like a new construction just hooking up to the water? I don't, you know, just a question, because that's real expensive.
Yeah, Jim's got this one.
Well, Carol, I can try to answer that for you. In the city of Redding, excuse me, in the city of Reading.
It's morning. It's early. Let's, you know, you're watching that game last night. I know. Go ahead.
In the city of Reading, if you had a Carol, if you have a building that's an existing building, you're credited in perpetuity for the sewer service that that building gets.
Okay.
Now, if you were to, and that's based on the typical user for that building. Now, if you were to have a restaurant come in there and you had a, you know, just a store in there before, they would pay an additional sewer charge because the restaurant will generate more sewer, you know, sewage than a normal, you know, retail store would. So that's the way it is in Reading. I don't know about the other jurisdictions.
So your reconnection fee wasn't here in Reading, though? Is that what you're
saying?
No,
it was in Jeff County, but it was in a smaller town.
Yeah, well, what he's saying is they would not have in Reading charged you a reconnection fee.
And it was a restaurant, and it had sat empty for at least a year when I rebought the building.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Carol, thank you very much. We've got to take a break here. This is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. The phone line's here, 221-1402, which you all know since you're loading them up. We're here with Jim Hamilton and Bernie Fargin from the city, and we're talking about how to keep people in their homes. Join us on the other side.
Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We have some special guests in the house. Oh my gosh, the fire is flowing. It's 47 degrees. Right now it's 8:45, and we're going to the phones.
Robert, you're up.
Hi. This is about a storm drain.
Okay.
We've been charged for a storm drain for the last 20 years, and there's nothing but a puddle out there every time there's a rain. And there's a storm drain charge, but there's no storm drain. What should we do about that?
Robert, this is Jim speaking. I think what you want to do is contact the city's storm drain utility. They can look at the situation as far as the puddle out in the street and what might be causing that for you. The $1.32, I believe it is, that each month that everyone pays on the utility
bill
manages is what we get to maintain the storm drain system throughout the entire city. So we have streets all throughout the city, storm drain, you know, facilities and things in creeks and other places, and that's what that pays for. So the thinking being there that the storm drain system protects everyone from flooding and everyone participates in that.
We've been paying for something we don't have, really.
Well, see, that's what
is that right?
I think you are paying for storm drain services throughout the city. You use the roads, you use the all of those things. So it covers all the
whether you have a storm drain or not.
Not going right, as far as I can see, there really isn't a drain opening. So I don't know what they're going to do about it. But what it is we've been paying for a puddle for the last 20 years or so.
Well, that's when you need it's called the storm drain. You know, you're right though, Robert. Why are you paying for extra water there? Of course, then it could cut back in your water bill if you learn to pump that.
That's
had electricity,
right. But then they'll probably charge us for the water.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Robert.
All right,
Tom, you're up.
Yeah. The next thing, we'll have a meter on the air when we breathe. Well, I got a couple of guests, so I'll keep it right to the pertinent to the Reading utilities and talk to you a little more about so-called deregulation, which it never was later. One of the problems I see is why in the world do they add a $12 late fee and then add a $20 late fee on top of that? So a person that's already behind, I never have had this problem, but I'm a landlord, and I've looked at some bills where people have paid $396 of late fees because they're always seem to be about 1 month behind. So that's a problem there. I think you need to cut it back to, say, $10, and that's it. Why have a second late fee? If you're 20 days late, you got one. 30 days late, they add another $20. As far as rates in Reading, it's cheaper than PG&E because PG&E's on a tiered system. The more you use, the more you pay per kilowatt. It's pretty much a flat rate here in the city. Of Reading utilities. Of course, that doesn't discount the sting of seeing it going up 6-7% a year while your wages aren't keeping up with that. Also, in the summertime, we leave our thermostat at 76 rather than 72. You'd be surprised how much you can save just by that. turn your thermostat up.
It's the whole thing, too.
And turn it down in the winter. We keep it at 68.
Well, I think, Tom, is that the utility company will come out and do a walk through your house and help you out and tell you ways of saving power. But, you know, our premise here is talking about people, the things that we can do to prevent them from being evicted, the ones that deserve this help. So thanks a lot for your phone call.
Well, you know one thing, too, it does. You know what they do?
What?
When they turn off the juice, then they write the landlord a letter, like as I've got them before, saying, you better get this person out of your house, and then they make me the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this thing, I tell you, before the government sues us another 10 years, I think I'm going to sell everything and move to Greenland or something, because now the county's going to come up with some new septic regulations. They're going to price some people clear out of their homes.
Yeah.
They ought to just put us all in tenements like they do in Russia.
Thanks,
all right,
Tom.
Take care.
All right.
Do you have a rebuttal on that, Jim?
Well, I don't have a rebuttal. I can state that we do send to property owners, landlords, when power's been disconnected, that there is no power in the house. Often the landlords appreciate that because it's their property that's at risk, and they want to make sure that someone's not living in the house in a condition that's going to create a problem for their property. So we do have landlords that appreciate that. It's not making the landlord the bad guy. It's really letting the landlord know the condition that's existing. Otherwise, they would have no way to know.
So it is a service.
It is a service.
Okay. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. When we come back, we don't have a lot of time. We've got the phone lines up. One of the things I want to talk about is if somebody's trying to pay, do we keep them in? What can we do to keep people in their homes? Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We've got just like 4 minutes left, and we've got the phone lines lit up. And I want, Bernie, tell me, somebody tries to pay their bills, you know, and they pay $200 a month on a $300 bill. What happens?
Okay. What we would encourage folks to do, obviously, is contact us and tell us what the situation is, what's going on in their specific situation. Let's say they have a $300 bill, as your example, and they're able to pay $200. Up until that point, they've been a good-paying customer. They've always demonstrated a good-faith effort to pay the utilities they used. We offer programs like amortization, where we would take the $100 that they aren't able to pay that month and amortize that ahead for them. The other things that we would do is talk to them about our CARES program. The city has a CARES program where if a catastrophic event happens in your life that prevents you from paying that $100, that the city will pay up to $200 once every 2 years and make up that difference for you.
Okay. Now, I understand that there's processes, but if a person's trying because economic reasons, and he can pay so much. This can only go on out so far, though. You said you'll work with him, but as we spoke.
And also, you know, we communicate to those customers as best we can, all of the help that's available through the community-based organizations. But you're right. Eventually, the utilities either will be paid or they will be
turned off. Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Gary, thanks for waiting. Gary, you're up.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to talk with you. Listen, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
It's Carl and Linda, but good morning.
All right. I live in a mobile home park, or an RV park, and I live in a 32-foot trailer.
Yeah.
And I've been in these parks for quite some time, and the rates in these parks are ridiculous. Now, I realize that the park gets a percentage, but the percentage isn't the point. The problem. The problem is the utility itself. They're extremely high. My bill in a little 32-foot trailer, and I don't run anything. I make sure I don't run anything. Runs approximately $55 a month, and that's ridiculous for a 32-foot trailer. I use propane for my gas, for my heat, for everything. And they just bang me real good.
Okay. Hey, what you got on that, Bernie?
Just a real quick question. Is the park you're living in, is it a master metered park? Or do you actually have an electric and water meter that serves just your mobile home?
My meter serves my home alone.
Okay, and you're in the city of Reading.
Yes, I am.
Okay, So I guess your concern then is that the rates for water, sewer, garbage, electric are more than what you would, are expecting them to be. Yeah.
So what would he do? Well, does he call you all?
What's I had a 1,754-square-foot house, and my utilities for that house, I had 70 lights in that home. And then we're talking about the air conditioning, okay, and the heating.
Yeah. Hey, Gary,
my bill there was never more than $169 a month.
Hey, Gary, we've got to move on. We've only got a couple minutes here, but I would recommend is that you call Bernie, and we're going to get their numbers because somebody needs to come out and take a look at your meter because that doesn't sound right. Thank you.
It's not just my meter; it's everybody's.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you need to call him. We'll give those numbers out, and let's go on to the next phone caller. Dennis, you got 30 seconds.
Yes. Hey, I'd like to ask a question about the criteria for actually moving, abating a homeowner out of their house, and then also, can you explain the $2,500 per day if they do not leave the premises?
So, Dennis, the criteria for moving somebody out of their house is that the house and the situation has to be an immediately dangerous situation, meaning there's an immediate threat to life or something like that because of conditions that are existing there. So if someone is inside their house, they're running a generator, that generator is pumping out carbon monoxide, that's an immediately dangerous condition, and they'd be removed, and we would work to get those folks out of that house immediately. That's the kind of distinction.
Right. So what if I actually did it the proper way? My generator's outside the house, and I'm using my barbecue on my patio.
Hey, Dennis, we're getting ready to leave the air, so we're gonna bring them back. So thank you for calling. Okay, look, can you two come back next week?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
339-7200 are the electric and water audit numbers. 339-7200. Give them a call and get somebody to come out and check out where it's going.
And they'll be back next week. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys, which are you.